Well, good morning once again, everyone, and afternoon in other places. Let's all go to God in prayer. Oh, bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Father, as we come to you this hour of the day, we come with our minds, heart, and soul dedicated to you. Father, please, Lord, hear us today. Father, thank you for blessing us, awaking us, and giving us this opportunity to come to hear your word, to receive from you what you have for each and every one of us. Thank you for your faithfulness toward us all, Lord God. Despite of our circumstances, our situation, despite of the things that we should have done that we didn't do, Lord, you still have shown us love and you've shown it to us abundantly. You still have provided, Father. We may not have seen all the ways, but Lord, we know that you're a provider, because your word says it, and you cannot fail. You said your word will last. When heaven and earth will pass away, your word will still stand. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, for it's all about Jesus. For he paid it all for us all, that we will not have to have an eternal death, but everlasting life with him, for those who have received him and those who are faithfully walking with him. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for we know your word is true and final. Oh, Lord, as we come right now in Jesus' name, forgive us all of our sins, our transgressions, things that we should have done, as I said earlier, in heaven. Thank you, Lord God, that you are a merciful and forgiving Father. Lord, as we are coming under your word, Lord, speak to our hearts. For let us all have a heart of worship, a heart to give you glory and honor when we don't feel it, Lord. For, Lord, it's not about a feeling, because you are real. So, Lord, we just submit our wills to you, and we pray that you would keep your heads around all of us that are on this call, all of us that would like to call in, all that are hearing this call at a later time, that, Lord, you would keep your angels about us and around us and protect us all from danger, hurt, and harm. Then, Lord, feed our souls as we hear from Jeanette. Remove Jeanette and speak through her. And give us ears to hear and a heart, Lord God, to receive and a will to do your will. Let us not just be hearers of your word, but let us be doers, Lord God. Lord, thank you for the traveling mercies that you're granting Terrell right now, Father, as he is going about the highways of life, Lord, coming home, wherever he's headed, Lord. Continue to shield him and protect him. Thank you for bringing Lizandra back. Thank you for all that have traveled in the last several days or weeks or months, Lord, that you've brought us all back to this place and time. We praise you, we glorify you, we honor you. Now, Lord, take over every aspect of this service. Allow your Holy Spirit to fall afresh and anew upon us all. Then, Lord, block out any chaos, confusion. Block out anything that the adversary wants to do to bring distractions in our lives as we're here to hear from you and not from Satan. So, Lord, we bless you today. We praise you, we glorify you. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We are going to be in the book of Colossians. Colossians is after Philippians and right before Thessalonians. We are moving on from David.
Praise God.
Already.
Me too. I do too. He's such our hero now.
Yeah.
I love Nicodemus, but David's really taken over my life now. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about him all the time. I think about Joab, and I think about the people that we became introduced to.
Yeah.
And got to know in a very personal way, because we got to see their lives from the beginning all the way to the end of their lives in the short span of our life. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Truly.
We got to really, you know, be exposed to a whole segment of time that we did not live.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to live it through the pages of the word.
Yes, God's word. Yeah. Amen.
So now it's something else I feel like I've experienced while I was here on earth. The battles of David, the betrayal.
David.
Oh, yeah.
The victory.
Mm-hmm. The victories.
Yeah.
The victories. And yes. David inquired of the Lord, will stay with me always.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to be said of me that Jeanette inquired of the Lord. In every move that I make, in every step I take, that Jeanette inquired of the Lord.
Amen.
That should be all of our cry.
Shona.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right, we're going to start from the second chapter of Colossians. The first chapter of Colossians is predominantly talking about, it's Paul greeting the church and praising them for their faith and that, you know, and Jesus, how he, Jesus the Christ, our Christ, and Lord and Savior, how he was in the beginning of all things and that he was the invisible, he is the image of the invisible God. He took an image, and how God was happy to abide within him, within the vessel. And we're going to start with chapter 2.
Colossians was a church or a people? Or both?
It was a Colossio is the place, and Colossians is what you call, or Colosso is a people that lived in Colossae.
Okay.
And we're talking to the church that lived in Colossae. And he's, you know, in the first he's talking about our you know, God's, Jesus' long-suffering and how we too will go through suffering. But let's start at chapter 2, verse 1. Would you please read, Alexandra?
Absolutely. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is.
Okay, so let's stop there.
That was beautiful. Yeah, that was beautiful.
So he's
encouraging.
He's encouraging, and he's talking about being knit together in love. And that's what the church looked like and was supposed to look like and is still supposed to look like. Can somebody give me, like, a definition of the church? What is the church?
A community of people on one accord to serve as ambassadors of Christ.
Excellent. Excellent definition. A community of people bound together also by one belief system. Now, when I say one belief system, I don't want us to get hung up on denominations.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if somebody thinks that you should wear this or shouldn't wear that, or, you know, they have different ideas on how they run their church. And that was even the case happening in the early church as it was being established, as people were, you know, doing it a little different in their town. But we're still one body bound together as a community of people. So anywhere you go, you should be able to be welcomed by believers. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now he's saying in verse 4, now let us not anyone be deceived by persuasive words.
Mm-hmm.
or persuasive? What's going on there? And it's, we've talked about this many times, but it keeps coming up because no matter where I go in Paul's teaching, it comes up. The church is new and it is fresh and it is founded on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, and who he is. But we still have a continuous infiltration trying to infiltrate the church with new philosophies and ideas that are actually anti-Christ.
Yeah.
So he's constantly going back to these established communities of people and trying to say, let's not be deceived. Let's not get carried away, because it is easy and can be done.
So true.
What happens when a church has deviated from God's word? What happens to that body?
It gets weakened.
It breaks up. Yep.
It can get weakened. It can also disintegrate. It can also become something completely different than the church.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is you'll find that certain people will recognize that we're off course, maybe try to correct it, and then they'll have to either leave, because if they stay in a corrupted situation, eventually corruption spreads.
Yep.
And I know that some people feel like that they're so grounded that they can turn a church around. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not the shepherd, you might want to rethink that.
Amen.
The Lord tells us to bind ourselves with one another of like mind and light and by the Spirit of Christ. If the Spirit of Christ is not residing there, you shouldn't be either.
Amen.
Now, when you leave, you should pray for that body. Pray for the believers that are, or that were once believers, or that are being led astray. You should pray for them, but there's a time that comes that if your voice is not being heard, and if God is not using you to turn that around, you need to get out.
Yeah.
And I think that's something we ought to recognize. You don't keep tarrying. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Amen.
The counsel of the ungodly. Or stands in the way of sinners. Or sits in the seat of the scornful. What is he saying there in Psalms 1? He's saying that this is not about Christ. And you, that's not a place for you to be. And that goes for a pretend church too. Okay. He says, I'm absent in the flesh, but I'm there with you in the spirit. Does that mean that this is a supernatural event, like when Philip was transported from the road in Damascus onto a whole other city?
No.
But what is he saying here? I'm absent in the flesh, but I'm there with you in the spirit. What does he mean?
That his spirit is dwelling there with them as they're having whatever they're doing there in the church. So his spirit is being there. The words that he's left with him is there. And his spirit is there.
That it sounds like exactly what it is saying, but when you kind of dig around in there, it's also been interpreted that it's a phrase used the same way we use, hey, my heart is with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I'm not there, but my heart is there with you.
Yeah.
I think that there's more substance to what Richard is saying than the interpretation gives it, because the interpretations, when you really dig into it, says it's more, my heart is with you. I think that Paul's spirit was tied to those believers. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you this. When you are put in charge or over a body of believers, you can feel them. So if they were wandering, you can feel it. If something's just not quite right, you can feel it. Even if it's not you're not getting a report, the Lord will place a burden on your heart to reach out or to pray for. Make sense?
Yes.
Because what did he just say earlier? Be knit together, tied together. Mm-hmm. And it's not just in, you know, that we all come together once a week, or it's also that we're bound in spirit. We're knit together. When you knit something together, it's closely put together to create one thing. Think of a knit sweater, or you think of a knit sock. It takes all of that to make it complete, and yet it's all wrapped around each other. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, when you're close to people that way, in spirit and in truth, well, where do you have there? What's going on with one affects the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Keep going.
So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
Stop right there. We're gonna go verse by verse here.
Sure, okay.
So
you got it.
Okay. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like?
Kind of like being a soldier. You've been trained, now act like a soldier. Boot camp's over. Now carry on.
Mm-hmm. Or walk in the image of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
May that look like a soldier or a saint? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Established in faith. So let's just bring it home. If the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is now in you, Spirit of Christ is now in you, let your steps be governed by him.
Yes. Amen.
This is how we will walk in him. Let your steps be governed by him. Let your ways reflect him.
Mm-hmm.
Let your attitudes be pulled in check by him.
Amen.
This is complete submission and then action by his Spirit living within you.
Mm-hmm.
If his Spirit is living within you, it should exact a noticeable change in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that should change your steps. That mm-hmm. should change your direction. That should change your attitude.
Mm. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the only way that's going to happen is what? Is that you submit to his Spirit. You have to submit, because you can still override it. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is subject to man, not man to the Spirit.
Mm.
So man can quench the Spirit, can ignore the Spirit, can listen sometimes, can do part of it but not the other part of it. We have that choice even in our deliverance from the world.
Yeah.
We still have the choice to walk. But he's saying walk in him. Okay, next.
I like the word you used by saying rooted, because rooted, I think of a plant that's planted and mm-hmm. it gets rooted into the ground, and then everything around it, it twists and it turns and it gets connected with that's in the ground, and it's hard to pull it up. So the word rooted means that you get deep into it, God's word, and then therefore you will be built up in the strength and in the faith that has been taught to us. So it becomes real when you look at it, when I see it that way, because now that I'm rooted, I can see the growth. And I can see the strength, and my faith has increased. And then, of course, from that, you will be overflowing with thanksgiving. Because all of it, you know, it's nothing about you. It's all about what he is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're more thankful about everything now, and less judgmental, less accusing, and all the other things that comes around when you're not rooted.
Amen.
Amen, Richard. Amen. That reminds me of, you know, remain connected to the vine. You
yes.
know, that was good.
Yes.
That was really good.
But roots tend to get fat.
Mm-hmm.
When they first start yeah. coming out, they're all stringy, but eventually they become
mm-hmm.
thick
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
harder to move.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mm-hmm. it's almost like an oxymoron to tell you to walk in him and then say be rooted in him, which you want to be. You know, stuck and deeply rooted, or do you want to be moving? But it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
If you're rooted in him, or let's say he is rooted in you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen.
Then the direction that you're going to go in is dictated by the root source.
Mm-hmm.
The root source being Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number 8.
Verse 8. See to it yes. that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the element mm. spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ.
Okay. Here we are again, being urged, and don't get cheated. Why would you say cheated?
Because the devil wants to rob us. He is to take everything good that God wants to give us. He wants to take it away.
Exactly.
Everything that God has for us, he wants to take it away. So he will cheat us by deceiving us.
Deceiving us yep. into getting right. back into the principles mm-hmm. of the world.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we say principles of the world, and we're talking to the church here, we're not talking about just blatant, you know, fornication, let's say, or this or that. He's talking about empty deceit and philosophies. In mm-hmm. other words, you go to a church and they say, we're going to not eat this, that, or the other for 40 days. And we're going to deprive ourselves of this, that, or the other for 40 mm-hmm. days for no particular reason. It's not really a fast. It's just coming up with stuff for everybody to do. Okay? Just coming up with stuff. And I'm going to say this right here. A lot of times, church people, Christian people, they think that the show of piety makes them more religious and more connected to God.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example of piety for a god in India, for example. Someone who is claiming to be bringing penance or sacrifice, that wants to sacrifice so much more, they will crawl on their knees for miles to a temple. When
oh
they
my.
Get there, they're all bloodied. And this is an act of penance to show God that I'll sacrifice my body. My body will be, you know, suffer for you. Did Christ demand that?
No.
I'm sorry, I'm pretty sure that he told us to take care of our body, soul, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So punishing your body, that's not of God.
No.
Now, am I saying that mm-hmm. fasting and praying is not necessary sometimes, or fasting? Oh,
no.
Yeah, of course it's necessary sometimes, because there's certain demonic forces that only go out but by prayer and fasting. Jesus fasted when he went up into the mountain.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about people that have this spirit of piety, they think, and humility when it is really pride.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And they're being deceived because people can enter in with these traditions. Why am I saying traditions? Traditions from where?
The world.
From the world. The world meaning what? Because he's talking to Christians here. He's talking about traditions from other religions. Yoga's actually a religion. And these practices that are coming from different religions that have are trying to weave their way into and entangle themselves into the church right here in Colossians. It's happening today. It's been happening. It was happening then, 2,000 years ago. And they come in, and what do they cheat you through? Cheat you out of. They cheat you out of the gospel, the true gospel of grace.
Mm-hmm.
You're not saved through, you know, punishing yourself.
Yeah.
Hmm. This is one of those words today.
Yeah.
We get it twisted. We get caught up in that mindset easily. Well, if God likes prayer in the morning for 10 minutes, he'll really like it if I pray for 4 hours.
Hmm.
What? You pray for 4 hours every morning? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I pray on my knees for 4 hours, and I have a note on the door that says, I'm praying, do not disturb. Wow. Well, if she can pray for 4 hours, I know I can do better than that. I'm going to show God I can pray for six. What's happening here? Where are you getting this from?
Right. Who told you that?
Who told you that? How are you getting the work done if you're sitting there for 6 hours in your piousness, most likely half asleep?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
The Lord said also make your prayers kind of brief. He said kind of get to the point. He said your Father already knows what you need. He already knows what you're about to ask. He knows the desires of your heart. So don't use a whole bunch of long words. So what are you doing for 6 hours?
Napping.
You know,
basically.
You know what? You're right. And you're saying something very critical that I did not realize until I became older, and that is time. If the enemy or the world can consume our time, the number of days we have on this earth, that's also a waste. It's a waste because we only have so much time to do the work.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I was teaching in Florida for a period of time, and we were talking about what is the most valuable gift you're given here on earth.
Your most valuable asset.
And that valuable gift is time itself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
That's the most valuable commodity on earth is time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get caught up in a ritual,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I read this, and this, all of these scriptures everywhere. Oh, it takes me about an hour and a half just to read the scriptures that I have written down that I read over and over and over.
Wasting time.
Mm.
Yeah.
It can sound funny, but in reality, there's many Christians caught up in that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, every morning I read this psalm, and I read that passage, and I read, and that's what they do every single morning. And then you'll ask them, yeah, so what was going on when Naomi said, or Ruth followed, I don't know, I don't read that every morning. I only read these specific scriptures that have been laid out for me. You're laughing. I know somebody that I've known way too well my whole life. That's how they read the Bible. They were unaware of 99% of the Bible.
Wow.
Because they only read certain scriptures.
Wow.
It's easy to get caught up in philosophy. Oh, well, how about I drive that home? How about the prayer of Jehub or somebody? Jab or somebody. Do you remember this?
Yes. Jabez. It was Jabez.
Okay. So make sure we read this particular prayer over and over and over. What, is God deaf? And who is this anyway? The prayer of who? You're right.
This is how we can get caught back up in the philosophies of the traditions of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Did you say something?
Go ahead and finish, Tim.
Sure. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands.
Your you're in 11. Let's stop at 10.
Huh?
So we're going to do 9 and 10.
You want to reread?
Okay.
Yeah, just reread 9 and 10, please.
Sure. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. 10. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness.
Okay.
I'm
For
sorry.
In him, go ahead.
I'm sorry. He is the head over every power and authority. Sorry, that's the completion of that.
Amen.
For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We're talking about in whom?
Christ.
In Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The fullness of the Godhead bodily. What is the fullness of the Godhead? This is powerful. What is the fullness of the Godhead? Everything embodied or encompassed in God is now in Christ. Is in Christ's body.
Okay.
Everything that you need, what you need to do it, is in him. Everything that you want or desire that it lines up with God's spirit, it is in him, the ability to attain it.
Yeah.
All things that you can come up with, wisdom in its completeness is in Christ. Knowledge in its completeness is in Christ. Power over the flesh or over unclean spirits is in Christ. That's the fullness of the Godhead and everything in everything that is necessary for you to live a good and fulfilled life is all available to you through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of God himself, get this, all of God himself embodied Christ.
Yes. Ding, ding.
All of God himself embodied Christ. And then he's saying that same spirit in Christ Jesus lives in you. If you can get a handle on this, you will have such a different understanding of who you are and what you're capable of. The fullness of God was poured into the body of Christ in the womb of Mary. The fullness of God. And now the same spirit in Christ Jesus will live in you. Same spirit of God.
Yes.
So you are capable of all things through him.
Yes.
This is amazing.
Yes.
This
is powerful.
That's amazing. Powerful. This is just if you can grasp it.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Dominion. Christ also had dominion over all principalities, in other words, kings of the earth, princes, powers, governments, all of it. Jesus has authority over all of it. And it's in you. Same spirit. Now, if you grasp this, it should change how you pray.
Amen.
If his spirit is residing in you, and you realize that it's in full, complete fullness, there's nothing missing, then it should change how you pray. That's the spirit now indwelling in you. Okay, verse 11.
That was so good. I want to do the Holy Ghost thing. Okay.
That's right verse now.
I'm sorry. Verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Period.
Okay. Before we go to 12. Now we're back to the circumcision issue, which Paul keeps bringing up, because the Jews that were converted are still pushing the circumcision thing. But he's explaining here something magnificent. We, Gentiles or Jews, have been circumcised not by hand, but by God. What was the cutting away of the foreskin supposed to represent?
That hand.
It was supposed to represent cutting away the unclean, cutting away the part of your body that would have held sin. That's what the cutting away of the foreskin is supposed to represent. The unclean part of the boy child. So that every child conceived from a circumcised person would not be under the sin. This is all manual. This is all metaphorical. But he says we're circumcised.
I cry.
We're circumcised. Not by hand. In other words, get this. When you become saved, your sin nature has been cut away.
Hallelujah.
Now you're free to live. Your sins, when we meet with repentance and we are atoned for through our faith and our confession. Our sin is what? Nailed to the cross.
Amen.
Okay.
Do we see what's happening here?
Yes.
I'm kind of. But what?
We're no longer bound by sin as we once were. In other words, now you have victory over sin. You are no longer a slave to sin. The part of you that was a slave to sin and kept you a slave to sin has been circumcised out, has been cut away by a non-human hand.
Hallelujah.
The operation took place when you received Christ as your Lord and Savior. So we should not keep having to falling. We actually have the fullness of God, which has, of course, dominion and power over sin. And now your sin nature that wars against God is being removed. Not by a human hand or a knife, but by the hand of God himself. So we are made clean and new in him. If you get the visual, what a beautiful thing is taking place
yes.
there.
Truly.
Verse 12.
I think there's a question on the floor before we go to verse 12. Does somebody have a question?
I do.
Oh.
Okay. So you said that the consequence, the penalty of sin is paid for when we're circumcised? And
by Christ.
No.
Okay.
When we are circumcised by God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And is
not
circumcision the same? Okay, so is that being used because the Jewish people were circumcised physically? What did it mean then? That they had a mark on their body or something to show that they were Jews?
It was supposed to be it's supposed to be setting them apart.
Mm-hmm. Setting them apart.
As clean people, metaphorically.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And yet we know that they never pulled any of that off.
Right.
Right.
But this is what was supposed to be a symbol and a sign that these mm-hmm. people have been set apart. Well, now we are being a symbol and a sign, but we're set apart by the hand of God, not by the knife.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And circumcision is no longer even an issue, because that isn't how we are made clean. Mm-hmm. Now by the power and the fullness of God embodying Christ, his spirit, and all the fullness of him embodying a human in the womb,
yes.
Now it's being done on a spiritual level. Now it's being done mm-hmm. once and for all. Now this is not metaphorical.
Mm-hmm.
Now this doesn't represent that you yielded yourself to be circumcised. No. Now this is being done where we really are being removed from sin, where we now mm-hmm. have power over sin.
Okay.
Because now it's being done by the hand of God.
Amen.
Okay.
Number, verse 12.
Okay. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead.
Having been buried Amen. With him in baptism, what's going on there?
Dead to sin.
Mm-hmm.
We're dead.
Symbolic of dying
something.
And being raised again. When does that play out? When is that you're baptized, you go mm-hmm. into the water, you
mm-hmm.
come
oh,
up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When
right.
is it played out that you are now dead to sin and you are alive in Christ? Resurrected from the dead. Dead, separated from God, no longer separated from God. Now you are risen as Christ rose from the dead.
What is it?
Yeah, the water. Mm-hmm.
Your faith.
Water baptism is a symbol of that.
It's just a symbol, yeah.
Right.
It's a symbol of what she described. So, when does it actually happen? I go back what Terry said, when we accept Jesus Christ in our life mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, I think that's when.
Mm-hmm.
So you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior
mm-hmm.
yes.
in some church service, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You came up to the altar, and then mm-hmm. you get baptized as mm-hmm. a symbolic
mm-hmm.
picture
mm-hmm.
of
mm-hmm.
what has happened in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus was yeah. baptized, what happened to him?
The Holy Spirit came upon him.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit ascended from heaven, and the words, "This is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased." So is baptism important?
Yes.
Yes. Extremely.
But what if you got saved and went outside and got hit by a bus? You weren't baptized.
Oh, God forbid.
What happens?
God forbid.
I want you to understand this as long as you live, because these are the things that entangle the church.
Yeah.
Remember, again and again, we are saved by grace and by works.
Yes. So with that being said,
somebody gets saved, but they don't get baptized. Sorry, your name, your first name was partly written in the book, but we couldn't write the rest because you failed to get baptized on time.
Nope, you're going to heaven.
That's mean. That's evil.
I have ex-zon, but I don't have the drug, and I can't prove that that was you.
I got 13 Peters, but I don't know which one you are.
No.
You're going to heaven.
Verse 13.
That's so bad. Okay, verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Comma.
Keep going.
Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Amen.
Amen.
That's what you were just saying. Yeah.
Now, what I want to say about that, this is just something I want you to get the picture of. And I used this a couple of weeks ago. Holy Spirit gave that to me about a check, a blank check that covers your debt.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your debt is, fill in the amount. It covers your check. It covers you. Nailed to the cross is when, I want you to see this because it's a little tricky. So you have the check, and it covers you. Now, when you take that check to cash it into the bank,
mm-hmm.
they don't do it anymore, but they used to put a hole in the check.
Oh, yeah.
They used to put little holes in the check that proved that this check has already been cashed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when the check is nailed to the cross.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that was good.
It's paid in full. It's been cashed. It's already done.
Yes.
That's why the work done on the cross covers you for before you were saved and mm-hmm. after you're saved.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, yes. Jesus.
It's enough. Man, it's paid you. In full.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, if you listen to the way sometimes the gospel is presented, you come up and you say, well, I want my sins forgiven, and you respond to an altar call, and your sins are forgiven. You repent, you receive the Lord as your Lord and Savior. But those sins were all forgiven that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But so are the sins that are yet to come.
Amen.
Amen.
Because as a Christian, he's telling us at the beginning of this, walk in him, walk in his spirit. But many times we don't.
Yeah. Amen.
So as we fall and we keep yielding to sin instead of the Spirit on our journey to become more like him,
mm-hmm.
we need that check to be like way over the amount of when I was 20 and got saved.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That would be way messed up. That means I shouldn't have asked for forgiveness of sin to right before I die. Because I would have all the sins from 20 to 60-something uncovered. Because only the sin prior was forgiven. No, the check covered any and all the way.
Yes, presidential check.
Okay.
And was nailed to the cross. Get this. It was nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago.
Hallelujah.
Okay, Jeanette, help me make a bridge here, because I keep thinking of a teenager who wants to go to a party and the parents say no. They sneak out of the house anyway, and they go. They're not thinking about the penalty when they get back. In the same way, I'm not thinking about the afterlife, the end of life, the judgment day, as I live every day. I'm not living in fear that on that day, oh, God, I'm so glad that he covered me. That's not helping me because every day I'm only living in the moment. I'm not projecting my sins and the cost that was paid and what could happen if I wasn't saved way up in the future. I'm thinking about today. So how does that knowledge help me get through the barriers that I'm facing today?
Well, for one, you know you're already forgiven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You also know that he will help you. This is the knowledge that we have, that the fullness of God is now living in us.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever is the challenge of the day, whatever is the trial, whatever is the circumstance less than stellar, whatever we're facing today, we know that the fullness of God is within us and he will help you. And then comes the gratitude with thanksgiving. What are we thankful for? We're thankful for the hope.
Mm-hmm.
We're thankful that we have died with Christ and we will be raised with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We have the hope
Hallelujah.
That whatever we're facing today
yes.
is temporary.
Yes. Amen.
Those are the things that get me through, and I do meditate on these things all
yes.
the time. This
Hallelujah.
Is what's on my mind most of the time.
Yes.
That I'm going to meet my Savior soon, that I'm only passing through, that I have
Hallelujah.
Been washed, forgiven, and grace abounding in my life. And others, people that I've prayed for, God has heard these prayers. No matter what it looks like, no matter what they're doing, God has heard my prayers.
Yes.
And he's willing to answer.
Hallelujah.
And that he's operating through me and around me and in the lives of the people that I'm praying for. All of that gets me through. That knowledge, without that knowledge, I'd be lost.
Okay.
Every day, every trial would be more than I could bear if I didn't have the knowledge of what God in me can do and is doing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That helps.
My faith says it's already answered. Even if I'm not going to be here to see it, it's already answered.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
And if I'm not here, I'm just in a better place.
Yes.
I'm with my Lord Savior, the one that we're talking about that paid it all. All of that knowledge is what is my hope.
Okay. 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 But we're in our 60s.
Going, Sandra.
14. When I was 40, I don't know.
Having... I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Well, no, no.
14.
Go ahead.
Having canceled the charge of our legal... Oh, sorry.
Hold on one 15. Second. I want you to 15. Read 15.
Yes, 15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
okay.
hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
What is he saying there? How did he make a public spectacle of them? He was the one hanging on the cross. So
that was it.
He was the one stripped of his clothes. How did he bring them to shame? How? And we know he disarmed the principalities and powers. In other words, through what was done on the cross.
Yes.
The power of the air was disarmed.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, sin has no more power over you. Now you get to decide what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. Sin has no more power over you. So he's disarmed principalities and powers. But it says he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. How did he make a public spectacle of them when he's the one on the cross?
Well, I would say through his death and then resurrection of it all. So I nailed it and rose again. Hallelujah. That's what I feel.
I agree.
Exactly.
The public spectacle was when I returned.
The empty cross.
Yeah.
The empty grave. showed you had no ability to kill him.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
The principalities, the powers, the works of the adversary, the prince of this world is going to kill the Son of God. And they felt pretty good doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Until there was an empty grave.
Yes.
Wait, what? We nailed him to a cross. We gave it our best to destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's walking around. Wait, what? Obi-Wan Kenobi, all of a sudden his spirit is popping up everywhere.
Yes.
That is how he made a public. And why do we say public? Because Jesus was seen in public for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
He made a public spectacle of all these Jewish leaders led by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And now the very one you crucified is walking around and people are, wait, he's over here. The empty tomb made a spectacle of those who were the principalities and powers and the wickedness that had been abounding on earth since the beginning that of Genesis, where Eve and Adam were deceived. Eve deceived, Adam disobeyed. From that point on, the adversary had dominion over earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still couldn't do anything that God didn't allow, but he's the prince of this world. But now all of this is done.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because God is reconciling man to himself, and those that he has picked, and the wicked will go the way of the wicked.
Amen.
But the Lord's made a way. And he's just defeated the adversary forever by raising from the dead.
Forever.
Okay. Forever.
Amen. Want me to continue?
Remembering always, saints, it's already been done.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't something we're hoping will happen just in time. This already happened. The work is complete. It's already been done. That's what's so amazing about this. That's why our hope is in him. Hey, from what I'm reading right here, the work's already done. I'm already reconciled. I am already reconciled.
Amen.
Amen.
So what does this mean? Well, then walk in him.
Mm-hmm.
If you know this, then walk in him.
Mm-hmm.
Let his spirit guide you. Enjoy the fullness of the Godhead, which is in you.
Yes.
Ooh, that's awesome.
I know this is kind of a tough lesson. I can feel that I'm, but I hope you're getting it. Okay, keep going.
Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Period.
Just finished 17. I got to close.
These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ.
All right. I'm not even going to elaborate. We're going to start from 16 next Sunday, because this is so powerful. Talk about setting you free.
Amen.
When this is so ingrained in you that you have such an understanding of it, and it's coming. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
Would you close us in prayer, Richard Mills?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you've given us your word that has fulfilled our souls today. Lord, please keep us in your word. Keep us tied to your word, Father, so that we will be able to stand, because we know we have an adversary who shoots fiery darts, who wants to take away what we've heard today. We are your sheep, and you are our shepherd. So guide us and nurture us and keep us, Lord God, for your word is true and final. Your word has fulfilled us today, Lord. Let us walk in love and in peace. Thank you, Father, for all that are on this call. Thank you, Father, for Jeanette for bringing forth the word. Now, Lord, let your word continue to fill our souls throughout this day and throughout this week, if you grant us another day to live. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Amen. Thank you for a powerful word. And Ms. Jeanette, I'll call you in about 5 minutes.
All right. Talk to you all later.
Good night. Good evening, everyone.
Bye.
Happy Sunday.
Bye.